T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yes! So it is. It is! The 8 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dono Show here on 560 WQAM. We are streaming all over the internet at WQAM.com on your computer or on your smartphone, the radio.com app. However you listen, we appreciate your patronage here tonight. If you'd like to get in and share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, pound 560 on your cell phone or via the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22, but please don't text and drive. Again, for some reason, Jason LaCanfora has put me in a position where I have to defend Ryan Tannehill. I wanted the Dolphins to draft another quarterback. I still do. But when you rip Tannehill unfairly, it's like you can rip him for certain things. Rip him for being inconsistent, rip him for being inaccurate at times, rip him for not having great pocket presence, rip him for unreached potential, but don't rip the guy for being injury prone or for saying that he and Sam Bradford are in the same category injury-wise. Ryan Tannehill's had one injury. Texter writes in at 560-22. Thank you. Ryan has had one injury that never healed, which was, by the way, his fault for not getting surgery right away, but it was one injury. He was a warrior before that, Texter writes. So the claim that he is injury prone is ludicrous, and I'm still pulling for you to be the voice of the Dolphins. Oh, well, I appreciate you throwing that in. That may not happen in my lifetime. All right, Biff, we put this off long enough. Coming out of a weekend where I'm overall pretty pleased by the things that transpired sports-wise and life-wise, instead of a weekend disappointment, I give you my top three list of weekend highlights.
It's time for the three most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's top three on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
You know, something that nearly made the cut for me, I'll give the honorable mention before I get into the top three. If this were a Mount Rushmore, it would have made it, but it's a top three. Steph Curry lighting it up last night was nice to see. It was fun to see. You know, people had kind of written him off this series saying, oh, the knee is clearly not right for Steph. Is Steph going to show up? The three-point shot is broken. Curry was lighting it up from all over the court, 35 points the other night. The shimmy, I thought, was interesting. You know, I heard, Stephen A. Smith said today that, you know, I really want somebody to foul Steph Curry hard because how could they let him get away for shimmying and celebrating after hitting three-pointers? I mean, listen, home floor, the guy was hitting shots from all over the court. I think he's earned the right to shimmy. If you're going to play physical against Steph Curry, if you're going to foul him hard, do that because he's a good player and you want to get in his head and rough him up. Don't do it because he's shimmying and dancing. Be physical against Steph Curry because that might be the best way to throw him off his game. So I think that the priority is a little bit ridiculous for Stephen A. It's like an old school unwritten rule, right? Which is more of a baseball thing than a basketball thing. How dare Steph Curry celebrate and dance after hitting big shots? We need to rough him up in the next game. How about, if anything, you play physical and rough up Steph Curry, because when Steph Curry goes off for 35 points, you're not beating Steph Curry. If you're going to be physical, do it for that reason.
I mean, maybe the reason why he's saying it is because he did curse at the game. He did throw an F-bomb, and his mom even said after the game, he needs to put some soap in his mouth after. So, you know, maybe that's what Stephen A. was really talking about. And he was using the shimmy as, you know, the F-bomb.
Yeah, how great is that, that Steph Curry was dropping F-bombs last night, and you never know when mom is watching. Well, you know, if you're Steph Curry, you should know that mom is watching when you're playing in the Western Conference Finals. I thought that was awesome, dude. No matter how famous and rich and important you get or how important you feel, mom is always watching, man, and mom will never stop parenting. I can tell you, you know, in 20 years, when baby Luka is a millionaire soccer or basketball or whatever star, when he's making trillions of dollars, when my son is rich and famous, If I see him cursing on TV, I'm going to be a little bit upset at that.
I'm going to tell my son, come on, I taught you better vocabulary, and you know, you use something funnier. Instead
exactly.
of the F word, you
be
know,
more
you
creative.
Go with something more creative. Exactly.
Don't be dropping any F-bombs or C-bombs on TV. There you go. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota West Kendall Toyota text line. So that did not make my top three. Here's what did make my top three. Number three, and I hope as South Floridians we can be happy for these guys and not just be bitter, because I may be team petty on certain things, but I am not team petty when it comes to the Vegas Golden Knights. What a story. One of my top three highlights of the weekend. Vegas Golden Knights are headed to the Stanley Cup Finals. This is a remarkable, historical event that is happening in our lifetime. And if you've been captivated by the Stanley Cup playoffs, if you were captivated by what you saw this team do during the regular season, I hope you can be happy for these guys. Incredible and remarkable for an expansion team to be headed to the Stanley Cup Finals. And VGK, they become an easy group to root for, given that that tragic shooting on the Vegas Strip happened 1 week before they played their first game, and the community really rallied behind those guys. It's the first sports team, first major sports team to ever call Las Vegas a home. And I know the reason why some South Floridians are bitter is because that team is coached by Gerard Gallant, who the Panthers fired a year and a half ago, and two members of that top line who have been two of their best players this year and in the playoffs especially are Jonathan Marchessault, former Florida Panther who was not protected in the expansion draft, and Riley Smith, who was traded to Vegas that same summer. I would say appreciate what these guys are doing, and don't be too bitter, because I think the Panthers' time will come. I think the Panthers' time will come because I believe in the team that they have, and I believe in Bob Bugner. I know it's easy to say, man, how badly did the Panthers screw this up that they fired Gerard Gallant in the middle of the season 2 years ago, and now he's coaching a Stanley Cup Finals team. I don't believe Gerard Gallant was going to win with this club. I think Vegas and their philosophy is a better fit for him. I think Bob Bugner in the long run will be a better fit for the Panthers. Am I a little bit just regretful that we didn't protect Jonathan Marchessault and that we traded Riley Smith? They took a gamble on Marchessault especially. I mean, Jonathan Marchessault had... he was the top Panthers goal scorer that 1 year, and they kind of decided, we don't think this guy can do it again, but it turns out he can do it again. I'm even more upset about that in the long term than I am about Gerard Gallant, because I think the Panthers have their man in Bob Bugner. But try not to be too bitter, right? If you're watching the Stanley Cup Finals, which Vegas is in there for sure, Tampa Bay probably about to punch their ticket, but it could be the Capitals. When you're watching that Stanley Cup Finals, I hope as a South Floridian, you're not rooting against that team out of spite. I hope you just appreciate the fact that an expansion team has never done better or nearly as good as Vegas is doing right now, and I hope you can enjoy that ride for that team. Are we still waiting for a Stanley Cup Finals game? A texter says, yes, we are, because only one team has punched the ticket so far. That's my number three weekend highlight. Number two, farewell to Jim Morris. I know there's still baseball left to play for the Hurricanes, ACC tournament this week, but they had their final two home games, Jim Morris's final two home games over the weekend. Unfortunately, could not. I had hoped to catch the farewell on Saturday, but the inclement weather did not allow that to happen. So Thursday and Friday, which capped off a 10-game winning streak for the Canes in the regular season, that was the home finale for Jim Morris, who has coached this team, this Hurricanes baseball team, for a quarter of a century, 25 years. Two College World Series championships, 13 College World Series appearances. I know the last few years have not gone great, and last season they missed the NCAA tournament. I thought they should have gotten in. I hope they can get in this year. They probably have to win the ACC tournament to do so. I hope the last couple of seasons haven't soured you completely on Jim Morris, because he had, by and large, an unbelievable tenure. And I know that Ron the Wizard Frazier was a very tough act to follow, and he followed it with class and a lot of success. Let's please appreciate the tenure that Jim Morris had at Miami, and let's hope they can do something special in the ACC tournament, because it may take an ACC tournament victory, but if they can do that, they can get back into the postseason. They can get back into NCAA tournament play, and I wish that for them. So that's my number two weekend highlight. Number one, I know this could be very personal to me, and it is, but Biff, I was fully expecting disappointment yesterday from Inter, from my soccer club. And I said this, one of my weekend predictions on Friday was, remember, Inter heading into the weekend, they needed a victory on the road at Stadio Olimpico in Rome against Lazio. They needed a victory to get into the Champions League. A draw or a loss would not cut it. They needed a victory. I put baby Luca in his Inter Milan kit. He matched me yesterday. Manny Chang came over. He put on an Inter jersey. He was good luck somehow. First time that ever happened for Manny Chang. And Inter came back down 2-1 over the final 15 minutes. A game-winning header by Matias Vecino, who's a crappy midfielder, but he came through in the clutch. And they punched their ticket in the most dramatic way possible for Champions League. And Eric Folero was very rude and dismissive of Inter's success earlier today. So he gets an honorable mention. He was a weekend disappointment for me. But I was fully expecting Inter Milan to let me down in some dramatic, horrifying, heartbreaking fashion. Instead, they came through in the clutch when they were needed most, and they're headed back to the UEFA Champions League for the first time in 6 years. And that's a big reason why I couldn't do weekend disappointments today, because very little disappointments came out of that weekend, Biff. I'm thrilled. I was on cloud nine the way things transpired. Yes, LeBron won, but I thought that would happen in game three. Everything else was coming up roses for me over the weekend. That's why you got weekend highlights instead of weekend disappointments this week. Do you have any weekend highlights, Biff?
I mean, my Red Sox played well. Mookie Betts and JD Martinez both looking for batting titles this year.
I totally forgot that you were a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, why would I be a fan of the Marlins? I don't want to be a AAA fan.
Well, yeah, but there are, you know, 29 other teams you could root for. I just didn't know you were a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, when you jump off the Marlins, you have to go to a good team because you have to actually feel like happy. After 2003, when they trade away the whole team, you know, it was very hard as I was probably like 8 or 9 at that time to be a fan still.
That is tough. I've stuck with the Marlins, and they've really sucked away a lot of the love that I had for baseball.
But let's be real. Since you've been a Marlins fan, well, like when you were about like, let's see, about 22, what was the power rankings of sports in your mind? Was like baseball like a number 2 or 3? Was it like more of like a 4 or 5?
Well, the last time the Marlins won a World Series, I was 19 in 2003. So like by the time I was 22. I mean, to me, it's really never changed for me. It's always – well, it has – well, I go my power rankings for South Florida sports, I go this way. It's always been Miami Hurricanes number one. Always been Canes number one. And then you do have a constant internal struggle between the Miami Heat and the Miami Dolphins for number two. Like, it's tough because I think the Miami Heat, during all the success they've had, probably – and I'm still more of a football guy than a basketball guy, but the Miami Heat probably took a step above the Dolphins because I still get extremely bummed when the Heat lose playoff series, when they lose big games, whereas when the Miami Dolphins lose bad games or they lose a playoff game a couple of years ago, it's hard to be that disappointed because you expect disappointment as a Dolphin fan.
You're just happy they're there.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you get into a playoff game. Oh, I'm so thrilled we even got here. So it's probably Canes number one, Heat two, Dolphins three, but the two of those are very close, almost interchangeable. Panthers definitely right after that, and then the Marlins are like a distant fifth, like distant, beyond, way beyond the Panthers, because I love the Panthers, I love hockey, and like the Marlins have sucked away a lot of the love that I had for baseball.
Plus, then you throw an Inter and stuff like that. I mean, like, they're basically, like, your favorite team just because you have to have a favorite team in the MLB.
Right, and I didn't include Inter because I only went with South Florida teams.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Any other team you like that's international or something like that, then it's gone.
Pretty much. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Yeah, texter writes in, Manny Chang has got a serious jersey collection. And you know what happened, I think, over the weekend? Because that was such a fun Inter Milan game yesterday. I think I made Manny a fan, finally.
So what team is that now?
Inter Milan. He's now a fan.
No, what team fan is he, like number-wise?
Oh, that's like 150 for him.
All right.
For teams that he roots for. Because he tried to get back into the Canes fam, but we had a vote on Twitter, and he was voted down. 88% would not let him back in.
understandable. I mean, he was an FSU fan. Next, he'll be a UF fan. I don't know if I'll accept him as a UF fan, but
you shouldn't. You should not accept him. The Alex Dono Show continues till 10 o'clock tonight here on WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Well, Champagne Supernova. A little bit too much of a slow build-up on this song, but I love it once they get into it. And you know that I am on Team Liam Gallagher over Noel Gallagher. Liam is the more fun one. That's the guy who has, like, the addiction issues, and he's getting into fights all over the place. I'm not saying I want that life, but that's the more interesting of the Gallagher brothers, no question. Who's your favorite Gallagher brother, Matt?
I got to go Liam. I don't know much more, but that what you just said sounds exciting.
Exactly. He's the more exciting of the Gallagher brothers from Oasis. So you kind of should have seen this coming based on his rhetoric in recent weeks. Tom Brady skipping voluntary OTAs. This from Adam Schefter earlier today. Quarterback Tommy Brady will not be at the opening of the New England Patriots organized team activities on Monday, a source told ESPN's Adam Schefter. Brady regularly has participated in the Patriots' voluntary OTAs in the past. He has skipped all of the team's offseason programs so far this season. Brady, 40, previously explained his decision to miss earlier portions of the offseason program as being based on family, while also helping him be, quote-unquote, really rejuvenated. Or does that have anything to do with the fact that his whole TB12 program and his trainer, Alex Guerrero, are no longer welcome in the facility, so now he's got to do that outside the facility? Offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels noted on May 11th that the coaches would like all the players at the workouts, but that they understood the quarterback's decision because the sessions are technically voluntary. The three-time MVP committed to playing the 2018 season during an appearance April 30th at the Milken Institute Global Conference in California. I mean, to me, for Brady, I think this is about for him, and I still expect Brady to look great this year. He'll be 41 for most of the season. You're not seeing the precipitous drop yet that quarterbacks are supposed to go through when they get to the wrong side of 40. Brady seems to be defying logic because he is so diligent. He is so careful with his body, the diet, the workout program for him. He's on an A-plus regimen. I'm not expecting a massive drop-off for Brady. I think the Patriots will win the division again. I think Brady's going to be excellent to great. But I think for Brady, for the first time in his career, actually skipping out on the voluntary workouts, and I know what you might be saying, they're voluntary, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Because even though they're voluntary, every NFL team expects their players to show up to these things. And when you are the captain and leader of your team, when you're as important to your teammates as Brady, it's not a good look when you don't show up. But I think the reason why Brady is doing this is, I think he's come to the decision. Like, you heard him say at that Milken interview, April 30th, they asked him if he feels like he gets enough respect from Bob Kraft and from Bill Belichick especially. And he said, I plead the fifth. You know, you had that report a few months ago about the rift that's been taking place between Belichick and Brady for most of last season. I think this is Tommy Brady's way of sending a message to the Patriots. I'm now doing things for me. I'm not necessarily going to make every decision that you think is best for the club. I'm going to make decisions that are best for TB12. I think that's what it's come down to for Brady. He's still committed to playing and still committed to winning, but I think now, after 40, and realizing he doesn't have the kind of respect and support from Bill Belichick as he thought he had or had a couple of years ago, I think Tom Brady has now decided, I'm done doing favors for the Patriot way. I'm done doing favors for Belichick. I'm done doing favors even for my teammates. The only favor that I give to these guys will be gracing them with my presence on Sundays when I'm playing quarterback for this team. I'm not going to bust my ass to show up for every workout. I'm not busting my ass to mentor anybody. You saw that last year with Jimmy Garoppolo when reportedly Tom Brady is the guy who got him traded. He told Bob Kraft, if you want me to be all in, you've got to get rid of this kid against Bill Belichick's wishes. So I think Tom Brady, I think this is a clear sign that Brady has now decided, if I'm not going to get the respect from the powers that be here that I believe I deserve, I'm going to start making decisions that are best for me, not necessarily the best for this team. I'm done sacrificing. Like, this is the same Tommy Brady that, you know, in years past has restructured his contracts, has taken less money to make room for supporting players, you know, under the salary cap, you know, has made sacrifices there time and time again. I think Brady has now decided, I'm done making decisions that benefit everyone else. I'm only making decisions now that benefit me. And I think this really ties back to that reported rift that Brady is having with, I think it's more so with Bill Belichick than it is with Bob Kraft, but I think this ties back to a lot of that stuff, my friends. Texter writes in, I still root for the Dolphins, but they don't deserve the pain they've cursed me with through the years. So I take the losses in stride these days. That's the one thing for me on the Dolphins. And I've loved this team since before I can even remember being a football fan. I've been a Dolphins fan for basically my entire life. What's been hard for me in recent years is the mediocrity has become so predictable that it doesn't disappoint you in the same way that it used to. It doesn't disappoint you because you're expecting it. You've got a big game that could get you into the playoffs. You're not expecting to win at this point. You get to a playoff game like you did 2 years ago in Pittsburgh. You're not expecting to win that game. And it's hard to be that disappointing when they lose a big game. I think that's what's kind of clicked for me with the Dolphins, that maybe they can return to that standard of excellence, but they have lost that for me a little bit. Shifting to basketball real quick, I saw a story today that I find interesting. So students and folks involved, alumni of LeBron James's alma mater, St. Vincent St. Mary in Akron, Ohio, the high school that he went to, they're trying to raise money to build a gaudy life-size bronze statue of LeBron James at their high school. Independence, Ohio, while LeBron James is trying to hang another banner commemorating a championship in Cleveland. This story is from ESPN.com, by the way. A fellow alumnus of St. Vincent St. Mary's High School is trying to erect a statue in Akron of the Cavalier star. Aaron Carey, who attended St. Vincent St. Mary's 6 years after James graduated, has organized a GoFundMe account and hopes to raise $1 million to commission a life-size statue of James. A couple of questions I have coming from this. Does it really cost $1 million to build a LeBron James statue? Does it really cost to get a bronze statue commissioned of LeBron James? And I get it. This alumnus of St. Vincent St. Mary's, he wants to use the same sculptor who has built a lot of the Lakers players sculptures outside of Staples Center. So that's probably one of the more expensive guys out there. But you're telling me you need to raise $1 million to commission a LeBron James statue? I sometimes wonder about these GoFundMe accounts. Like, okay, it's one, if somebody's got a GoFundMe for a sick relative or a sick kid, I think that's a very noble cause. But you're telling me this guy needs to raise $1 million on his GoFundMe page to build a LeBron James statue? How do I know the statue doesn't cost $200K and you want to pocket the rest? I'm a little bit skeptical of $1 million to build a statue. And the other thing is, do you really need a GoFundMe page for this? Because if you bring up the idea, and, you know, listen, LeBron James, for as much crap as I talk about the guy, he probably deserves a statue in Akron. That would not be out of place at all for his hometown to have a giant statue of him, whether it be downtown or in front of his former high school. That's not out of place whatsoever. So if someone's going to make it happen, maybe Dan Gilbert or somebody associated with LeBron James's businesses can raise this money. It doesn't seem like you should have to go to people on the internet, anonymous people, to donate 10, 20, 100 bucks a piece for a GoFundMe page. This should be underwritten by a businessman somewhere, whether it be Dan Gilbert, whether it be a trustee and an alumnus of St. Vincent St. Mary's. To have to crowdfund this is a little bit odd to me. And for it to cost a full seven figures to build a statue of the guy. Maybe I don't know the going rate, how much it costs to build a statue, but that seems a little ridiculous to me. Did you see this of the Spurs, Texter writes, planning to offer Kawhi Leonard a 5-year, $219 million supermax contract? I haven't seen that yet, but if true, That may be a sign that the rift between the Spurs and Kawhi might have been overstated quite a bit. We'll go to the phones at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Charlie is in Carroll City. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, what's going on, Donald?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Love your show, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, but you piqued my interest with Brady, and I'll tell you why. I just believe that Bill Belichick has a system, you know, like Tom Andrew did, and it's worked good for him all of these years.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure if Brady wants out, or if this relationship is going south, you know, I just think Belichick would do him like Montana, you know, ship him to Kansas City. Or anywhere else that he can pick up the young prospect for. And, you know, if anybody's thinking, well, Brady is too valuable, one thing I got to say is they thought about that with Herschel Walker.
Right. Yeah, and that turned out to be a great trade for the Cowboys.
They got Jimmy Johnson 2 rings. So I just see this as, you know, you have an established coach, and I guess I know why he was mad at the Garoppolo situation. I know he would definitely want to get rid of Brady if he felt like, you know, that was a big thing.
The funny thing, and if Belichick were to want that, it's got to be out of spite, because I never got the sense that Belichick wanted to get rid of Tom Brady. I just thought that Belichick wisely, knowing that Brady was 40, Belichick was saying, I really want to have the next quarterback or the quarterback of the future in the hopper, because how much longer can Brady really keep doing this? He wanted the insurance policy. Brady blew up the insurance policy. So to your point, did that make Belichick so bitter? Because I still think Belichick wants to win. And Tom Brady, to me, is still the best in the game. So unless Belichick is so bitter about this, I don't see him wanting to get rid of Brady.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I followed Belichick all the way from the New York Giants. So I just feel like he knows talent. And he's also seen talent on the decline, and he gets rid of him. He has that much experience from the New York Giants days till now. And I just feel like he knows today's players. You can't tell me a guy like that doesn't have a bead on who his next quarterback is, even if he had to trade for someone like that in the league. You know, he keeps up with all these guys, or at least their front office does. So I think they would just put themselves in a position to win, Donald. Keep it going.
Just win, baby.
You got it.
I appreciate the call, Charlie.
All right, man. Have a good one.
You too, man. I like this text on LeBron. La Drama is so vain, he'll probably offer to pay for his own statue and build a monstrosity. That's not that ridiculous, right? Like, if LeBron discovers that, you know, a fellow alumnus of his high school, his alma mater, is trying to crowdfund, GoFundMe, to build a $1 million statue, I think LeBron probably should chip in. You want my likeness in my hometown? You want my likeness, my statue in front of my high school? I'll throw you a few bones. Some of my business partners will throw you some cash. Dan Gilbert should be throwing in some cash for that. I don't think they should have to crowdfund this. I don't think you should have to go to GoFundMe to fund this. And if anybody out there, I'm going to do some research during the break. I'll make Biff do some research also, which that'll be my research, will be Biff's research. If you can find out the going rate to get a statue built, like a life-size statue, does that really cost $1 million? Like, okay, I'll give you an example. Maybe I can text somebody from the University of Miami, although they may not want this information out there. You know, within the last year, they erected a Ron Frazier statue in front of Mark Light Field. How much did that cost? Big, lifelike statue, life-size statue. I'm guessing that didn't cost anywhere near $1 million. It may have been a couple $100,000. I don't know if anybody from UM would want to disclose that information. I would understand why they wouldn't. But is the going rate to get a life-size bronze statue, is that really $1 million? That sounds a little flimsy to me. How do I know it doesn't cost $200,000 and then you pocket the rest of this if people actually pony up for this money? By the way, a texter was asking about something a caller referenced early. Omar Kelly's term that he used to describe the Miami Dolphins O-line, the unicorns, when the unicorns played together. And the unicorns included Mike Pouncey, Juwan James, and Brandon Albert all had to be on the field at the same time. Those were the unicorns. We got a new edition of Clickbait. Clickbait is coming up next. a superhero may be developing, and it involves a meteorite. We'll get to that and more next year on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.